Well, what do you think when someone says hot desking is a good idea? I know what I think. Where will I put my box of tissues? Perhaps you think the same. Or perhaps you think, where will you put your photo of your kids or your dog if you're always moving around? How does this work? And perhaps you also think, this is just another one of those trendy ideas that are a complete waste of time. Joining me now to discuss just that, the pros and cons of hot desking, is Donna Wheatley. She's an architect with Warren and Marnie Architects and specialises in this very subject, workplace arrangements. Donna, welcome to Counterpoint.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be on your show.
Oh, good. Now, look, hot desking. What about people like me that always need a box of tissues? What, do you have to cart them round? Do I have to cart a knapsack round and my accoutrements for my desk?
Well, that the very definition of hot desk or activity-based working does imply that you will have a certain amount of equipment that you will be able to carry with you, but there's certainly advantages with that as well, such as increased flexibility, and also technology has changed, which enables us to move around with relative mobility and ease with our equipment.
Mm. Sure. Well, when you say our equipment, okay, a computer, I can use anybody's computer. That's no big deal. Go and sit at another desk and log in. But, you know, what if I'm the sort of person who buys, a cheap carton of water at the beginning of the week or, a big pack of muesli bars or something to put in the bottom of my desk? I'd need a knapsack, wouldn't I? A little trolley.
Yeah. It is one of the pain points of hot desking, and it is one of the issues that I repeatedly mentioned to us. And so there's different definitions of what hot desking is. It doesn't necessarily mean all work you have to pack up at the end of each day and unpack at the start. There are different ways of looking at it, hybrids, if you like, where you might be at a certain place to work on a project with your team for a couple of weeks. It might just be the notion of owning a space that you fully kit out to your desire and your comfort level, and your habits may need to change, but it may not imply that you are packing up and setting up each day,
although that may also be a result as well. Well, I've never worked in a hot desking environment, and I don't fancy it because I don't want to cart my tissues around and my bottles of water. But in any event, where it does exist, I'm told that those who get there early get the best opportunities because they get the seats by the window. You know, they get to always choose the same desk each day. And some people, because of their commitments, like childcare, dropping kids at school, yada, yada, you've heard it all, can't get there very early. And so they're left to be the sort of drifters on the outside. Now, how do you solve that in a genuine, if I can call it genuine, hot desking environment, the one where you are meant to shift around and go from place to place? How do you stop people, goody two shoes, getting in early and hogging the same desk every day?
Yeah, so the idea of hot desking started around the concept of neighbourhood. So there'd be a number of workstations that would really sort of belong to a team, and that team could sit anywhere within that space. And the initial concept of hot desking was that this neighbourhood was quite a lot of people, 70 to 100 people. And now the idea of the neighbourhood is a lot smaller. So there's this idea that there's a little area that, maybe 12 to 20 people belong to. So there's a sense of that's where you would come and sit, and there'd be a variety of spaces there. So you do know where you might head to, and hopefully there would be a space available. And if calculations are right, there should be the right amount of settings for the number of team members that would be in that day.
If calculations are right, that's a bit worrying for the workers. worrying for the workers, I think. Now, look, in terms of the sorts of work to which this is amenable, is it really the sort of work where you don't need? You've talked about teams, and that's one of the issues with hot desking, because if you're moving around, you're not in a team, then the creativity that comes from sharing ideas and all the rest, we can fill all that in, isn't there. So that leads me to think maybe hot desking is only okay for for example, a call centre or something like that, where you're not actually meant to be engaged with your colleagues?
Yeah, that is one of the findings we've had with our research. The intention initially was that you would be able to sit with your team whenever you wanted to work on projects because you could self-organise. We actually find that isn't necessarily the case and that hasn't been the outcome. So that's why we're working with new forms of activity-based working that is centred around the team rather than the individual. So prior concepts would look at what does that individual do? How do they work and what spaces do they need? And now we're looking at that team environment and how does that team work together? And we might find there'd be a few weeks, as I mentioned before, and that's how that team works. And we actually work around that. And that's the concentrated module, if you like, of an organisation. But you do see it more successfully rolled out, repeatedly rolled out in sectors where there is a degree of process. And, of course, there's a financial gain in sectors where there's large numbers of people because you're able to reduce space.
So when you say a degree of process, is that another way of saying you mean a job where you're not meant to talk to everyone around, you just go through the proper processes and you're not meant to collaborate?
Possibly. I mean, we can see benefits in activity-based working, working for people who do work in that way and that they can set up anywhere and able to just get on with the job. Mm. And when you are collaborating a lot and you are needing to be with your staff, other team members, and you're coming in half an hour later, then we actually need to start to think about how to set up a space so when the first person comes in your team, they sit at that pod and then the other team members can come and join that pod. And sometimes that pod might be a little bit cramped some days, and sometimes it might be, you know, there's only a couple of people there, but there's still always associated to that pod. And so you're actually able to enhance, you know, the possibility of enhancing collaboration in that space if collaboration is a desire for the organisation.
Okay, so what would be the matter with giving everybody their own space, but a little space, you know, not my office with my extended carpet and my extended, you know, suite of chairs to sit at or whatever, just your own space, little desk, set of drawers, pop your tissues, pop your water, your muesli bars, blah, blah, blah. Make those spaces small.
Yes.
And have more pod rooms so that people, you can have both.
People would have
Their own space, but, you know, sharing spaces as well.
We have a lot of examples of that. And particularly in New Zealand, with our work in New Zealand, that has been a developing concept there, well, as it is evolving anywhere, particularly with organisations that are coming from an office-based environment, such as you just described. So we see a lot of law firms moving from their own work office into an open setting. And in that office, they would perform multiple functions. You would have meetings, you would have telephone conferences, you would have focused report writing, all in that one space. So when you go to that open environment, you actually need to provide all of those opportunities, but you need to move to those spaces. So we see now, it used to be around 80% was given to workstations. Now for almost all of our workplace projects, that's now around 50% of the entire floor area, with the other 50% being more team, collaborative or social space.
That does sound much more sensible. I've been talking with Donna Wheatley, an architect at Warren Marnie, who focuses on workplace design. Now, Donna, just one final question, if I may.
Yeah.
Hot bunking in submarines, that's quite different from the work you do, isn't it? And I'm told this happens, that they can't have, you know, everybody have their own little bedroom and bathroom and ensuite in a submarine. It's not going to work that way. So
well,
they have
hot
bunking.
I believe it might be scheduled. I mean, that's probably quite a good analogy I could talk to our clients with.
Yeah, hot bunking. I don't think it's a bad idea for submarines, but I'm not sure about the simple hot desking for workplaces. Anyway, Donna Wheatley from Warren & Marnie, thanks for joining us to talk about hot desking.
No, it's my pleasure. Thank you, Amanda.
This Is About is a podcast hosted by Jordan Raskopoulos. That's me. Stories told by those who live them.
To do a good job, you kind of have to believe that you're Spider-Man.
He was holding what he claimed was Ned Kelly's skull.
She just said to me, if you can't have this baby, I'll have a baby for you.
What I thought was two different dolphins was just one shark.
What? This is About on the ABC Radio app or wherever you get your favourite podcasts.
Listen now.
On your phone.
You know, just do the thumb thing.